I'm Paul John Spaulding, GM of production at Cybercrime Magazine. Welcome to the Cybercrime Magazine update. I'm joined by Steve Morgan, founder of Cybersecurity Ventures and editor-in-chief of Cybercrime Magazine. Steve, thanks for joining.
Great to be here, Paul.
Cybersecurity Ventures is a cybersecurity research company. Cybercrime Magazine publishes all of our media. And I mean, needless to say, we've been soaking in this cybercrime world for a while now, you know, cybercrime, cybersecurity. And I feel like there's been one thing lately that all of us in the office have continued to talk about. I'm referring to Zaman Qureshi. He investigated after this came around the time from the Facebook data breach, 530 million Facebook users had their data leaked. And Zaman's Twitter thread blew up when he posted information that he found that Facebook had collected on him. This included Zaman ordering pizza. It included him going to his college website, which he uses for classes and other things, as well as even when he used Venmo. You know, Steve, I feel like, again, we go through so much content. We have a lot of daily content even. We publish so much media, yet I feel like this is one of the things that all of us here still keep talking about. What's the big deal?
What's the big deal? There's a lot of big deals. So let me add to your commentary on Zaman. He went to the U.S. Customs and Border Protection website for a school project. Facebook knew about that, too. Facebook knows everything about Zaman. You touched on just a little bit of it. So that's shocking. That's being tracked. It's being watched. It's a level of surveillance that none of us expect, and certainly not a freshman at school.
You know, it's one of those things where I'm playing devil's advocate a little bit here because, I mean, Facebook generates its revenue from data collection. Do you think people know what they signed up for in this case? Like, they're collecting a lot of data, but I guess a better way to ask it is, isn't that what they signed up for or not?
We live in a society here in the United States that is based on goodwill, good faith, based on a whole lot more than the terms of service that anybody signs up for. I don't think anyone ever in the history of using Facebook acknowledged those terms of service and expected that employees at Facebook would be reading their messages and be able to watch where they've been and when they use apps to order pizza and the types of things that Zaman was shocked to find out.
You know, that's true, Steve. And I want to hold on that for one second, because in the video that we did with Zaman, he actually showed some of his old, he did a tester just for us, obviously, to not show any names, but he actually showed how Facebook had collected his old messages too, which I feel like is shocking. And I know it was talked about a little bit in the video, but, you know, it does make you think, especially if you use Facebook Messenger, or even if you're just texting people outside of Facebook, what's happening? I mean, Steve, you have kids around Zaman's age. As a parent, what do you think?
It's very disturbing. You know, I don't want anybody following my kids. I don't want anybody following me. So it's very, very concerning. It poses a question to all of us. Should we get off Facebook?
You know, in Zaman's case, of course, if you haven't seen the video, you know, please go watch it. It is very interesting. But in Zaman's case, you know, he mentioned how he really needs to be on Facebook, because that's how he interacts with a lot of his peers and, you know, even things for his school. It's almost like if we're concerned, and this is the scary thing too, as Zaman noted, even if you turn off the tracking features in Facebook, you get a message that says, we'll still receive your activity from the businesses and organizations you visit. What can people do if they're concerned? I mean, should they just delete their Facebook? Is it that simple, or maybe not?
I think it depends on how much people care and how much they can handle. So if you take somebody like Zaman, I understand what he's saying, and I agree with it at some level. Right now, at this present time, he feels that Facebook is essential to his, you know, being around his college experience, around being part of this digital society that we live in. At some level, it's not too different than someone who might be 16 years old or 17 years old or even 18, and they live at home with their parents and they feel, you know, dependent at some level. Well, they are. financially and a lot of other ways. However, if they were to be abused, you know, everybody has, you know, kind of a cutoff point where they just can't take it anymore. And if they left, you know what? They'd be alive. They'd figure it out. They'd be okay. They wouldn't be, you know, necessarily leaving for a different destination as much as they would be, I need to get away from this. And I think with Facebook, it's very much the same thing. How much more abuse can, if you want to call it abuse, or if it ever rises to a level where it would feel like abuse, could Zaman or somebody else withstand? And, you know, we're going to reach that point. There's going to be a tipping point where people are either going to leave Facebook, or Facebook is going to make some serious changes and people will feel better about the platform.
Steve, you know, it's a tough thing because we want to say it's very easy to delete it or walk away, even if the simple point is, hey, I need another platform. But it does feel a little trapping. I remember, you know, just for myself, going back a few years though, when I was in college, there was a class they required us to use Facebook to post this project that we were doing. And it was very weird. I couldn't escape it, even though I'm not on Facebook too much. I don't know. Is it inescapable, or, you know, do you have to gather up your friends and family and say, hey, look, let's all get off of Facebook, and, you know, collectively, do you have to pull your friends out? I mean, what if people around you aren't leaving and that's the only place you can talk to them and communicate?
Well, first off, there's a difference between being made to feel a certain way and things actually being that way. I don't think your school would have refunded your tuition and put you on a bus and sent you home if you said, I'm not using Facebook.
Probably not. Yeah.
I think they really wanted everybody to use Facebook. It made sense for them. But, you know, you do have a choice. Everybody really does have a choice.
Well, Steve, thank you for coming on today. You know, if anyone is interested, you know, they can view Zaman's story, cybercrimemagazine.com. He breaks down the information a little bit more, talks a little bit more about the investigation. Steve, of course, you interviewed him and spoke with him then. Before we go, is there anything you want to leave any listeners off with?
You know, I don't want to portray Facebook in an entirely negative way. You know, there's a lot about Facebook that's great. You know, they're an innovator. They created something very special and very unique. It's not fair to, you know, target them and, you know, try to define them by, you know, how Zaman feels or other people who feel the way he feels. Yes, there are, you know, terms of service. I think they need to just pay more attention to how people feel about this. I think they're able to do a lot of things we don't like, but there's no evidence, or at least I don't have any evidence, that says they're profiling people, they're conducting surveillance. The concern is they could right. Do that. And that's a really, really, you know, big issue. And I think people would like to feel like, well, they can't. There's just no way that they could do that. And, you know, change some of those privacy rules and some of that data collection so that the concern goes away.
Steve, very well said. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Paul.
I'm Paul John Spaulding, GM of production at Cybercrime Magazine. Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Cybercrime Magazine Update. To hear more about Zaman's story, head over to cybercrimemagazine.com.